Welcome back to another episode of Human Vultures. This is Smriti Kurup and today I'll be bringing you the second part of the Neeraj Grover case. For all the new listeners, please go and check out part 1 of the story. As soon as Matthew entered the bedroom, he saw Neeraj lying naked on her bed. His anger knew no bounds. He was so enraged that he ran to the kitchen, picked up a knife, and then he slashed Neeraj's throat. He kept on stabbing him repeatedly till his anger cooled down. Neeraj collapsed on the floor and breathed his last. But Matthew's insanity had just begun. He grabbed Maria, took her to an adjacent room, and then he made love to her while Neeraj was laying dead in another room. He wanted to prove Maria that she belonged to him and nobody else. He wanted to display his dominance on her. There were no traces of any remorse about what had just happened. Matthew and Maria both decided to destroy all the evidence and made a diabolical plan to get away with the murder. At 10 a.m. that morning, Matthew sent Maria to bring 3 large gunny bags and sharp knives. Maria returned to the flat and Matthew dragged Neeraj's body in the bathroom. After hearing what happened next, you will stop believing in humanity. Matthew started ruthlessly chopping the body into smaller and smaller pieces, such that he almost turned the body into approximately 300 pieces of flesh. The bathroom looked like a swimming pool of blood. Then they started putting those pieces in the bags brought by Maria. After this barbaric act, they actually went out and had lunch, just like nothing happened. Meanwhile, Maria also requested her friend to lend her car for a day. They went back and dumped the bags in the car and drove out of Mumbai. They even brought 2 liters of petrol on the way to burn the last remains of Neeraj. On the outskirts of Mumbai, in a place called Manor, they halted and burned the bags at a deserted place in the forest. On 9th May, Matthew went back to Kochi. They parted ways, thinking that they were successful in getting away with the crime. But every crime leaves a trace. It is for the sharpest minds to decipher it and crack the case. As Neeraj didn't turn up on the sets of the TV show he was working for, his friends and colleagues started worrying about him. Neither was he picking up the calls nor was he answering his door. This is when Maria started executing her master plan. She went to the police station herself and filed a missing complaint against Neeraj. She even said that Neeraj came to her apartment in order to help her settle in but left soon after finishing the work and that she didn't hear from him thereafter. Police recorded her statement but didn't come across anything concrete for 2 weeks. They kept investigating and you know there were only 2 possibilities. One, Neeraj was kidnapped, or the second, something bad had happened to Neeraj, which Maria was aware of, since she was the last one to see him. As the elements of kidnapping were missing, the police started digging deeper into Maria's possibility of involvement in the crime. They got certain leads, which all pointed fingers towards Maria, the main being. The watchman of her society testified that he had seen her and Matthew drive away in a Santro with some bags. This vital information was missing from Maria's statement. Second hint was that Maria accidentally answered a phone call on Neeraj's mobile phone while she was pulling it out of her denim pocket. Although she had immediately disconnected the call, police were able to trace the location, which was Manor, while Maria lied during questioning that she was shopping in Dadar. She also lied about the borrowed car. The police found out that between May 7th and May 20th, Matthew and Maria had nearly called each other 1,000 times, when according to their previous call logs, they rarely used to call each other for like 150 times a month. Maria's house also had a freshly painted wall, which was different from the rest of her house. And the forensic department found out blood traces from the latches of the bathroom door. Her hands had cuts and bruises, which, when inquired about it, she said that she got them while cutting vegetables. But taking all these hints, the police definitely smelled something fishy. They even called Matthew and started rigorous interrogation. Finally, Maria broke down and confessed to the crime. They even took the police where they had burned the body. Finally, the police managed to crack the case, but the final verdict of the case was met with disbelief. Police arrested Maria and Jerome, and the trial went on for 3 years. On 1st July 2011, after listening to both the prosecution and defense, the additional judge of Mumbai Sessions Court, M.W. Chandwani, pronounced his judgment. Now, from the judgment of this case, I am sure you will realize one major thing, that is, law and justice are not the same. They are both different things. Law is a fact. It is based on some pre-written rules, whereas justice is abstract. It's subjective. Justice is an emotion. It's a sense of satisfaction that vengeance has been achieved. Because even after such a gruesome incident, the judge did not charge them under murder. Instead, he charged Matthew with culpable homicide not amounting to murder, which is one of the 5 exceptions under IPC Section 300, murder, which states that culpable homicide is not murder if the offender, whilst deprived of the power of self-control by grave and sudden provocation, causes the death of the person who gave the provocation or causes the death of any other person by mistake or accident. He was also charged under IPC 201, destruction of evidence. He was sentenced for 10 years for the killing and 3 years for destroying evidence. The judge did not find Matthew's act premeditated. The judge pointed out that the weapon used to kill Grover was a kitchen knife. A kitchen knife. It was not specifically brought in by the accused, and that it was a spur of the moment which resulted in victim's death, and any prudent man would have reacted in a similar way if they found their fiancé sleeping with someone else. He was charged under IPC 304, which states the punishment for culpable homicide not amounting to murder. Whereas Maria was only sentenced for 3 years for destroying evidence which she had already served in the course of the trial, so she walked out free after the verdict. This judgment received great criticism and discontent from literally everyone. Grover's father, Amarnath, said he was unhappy and the judgment was truly disappointing. Public prosecutor R.V. Kinney expressed shock over the judgment and also challenged it in High Court. Noted criminal lawyer Majid Memon said the judgment was an enormous error. They were calling it a travesty of justice. There was a tremendous media and public outrage, and the judgment was termed as a soft/light verdict. Well, if you ask me, was the law upheld Technically, yes. But was justice served? Absolutely not. What do you think? Let me know. Write to me at smritikurup26@gmail.com. Also, follow Human Vultures on social media for regular updates. Till then, have a great day. See you next week with another exciting case.